is God needs people who really believe in Jesus. And we live in a world that's full, at least here in the United States, and certainly around us here in Alabama and Choctaw County, it's full of people who say they believe in Jesus. You ask just about anybody out there on the street. I haven't found anybody yet around here that said they didn't. And I know there are people that don't, but I haven't run across them yet. Everybody says, well, I believe in Jesus. But see, God needs people who really believe in Jesus. The scripture that was read, John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why does God need people that really believe in Jesus? Because Jesus is the only way we can get to him. And we must really believe. If we deny him, he will deny us. Matthew 10, 32 and 33 says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And he said, well, I confess you. I believe in Jesus. I say so. I say I believe in Jesus. Jesus is talking about more than just lip service. When he talks about us confessing him, he's also talking about confessing him with the life that we live, with the way that we live that life. We don't want to get too deep this morning, but we're going to look at three things that we have to believe. We can't believe in Jesus without believing these three things. First of all, we can't believe in Jesus without believing he created us and everything else. There are many, many people who call themselves Christians. They call themselves religious. They say they believe in God. They say they believe in Christ. And they call themselves Christians. But they don't believe in creation. They believe in evolution, just like the science books. But we are going to have to change that attitude if we hold that attitude. The Bible is very clear. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, when God is describing to the Israelites why they must keep the Sabbath day, he says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This idea that these life forms evolved over millions of years does not fit with what the Bible teaches. God said, I made everything in 6 days. He didn't say, I started things off and it evolved over millions of years. He said, I created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that's in them. That's it. That's everything, isn't it? The heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that's in them. And he said, I created it all in just 6 days. There are many who try to justify their belief in evolution by going back to Genesis and saying, well, these days that it talks about, the evening and morning were the first day. That's not really a literal 24-hour day. That's really a long eon of time. And God's just using the term day to kind of help us understand how these things happen. That's not what the Bible says. God, here in Exodus, tells the Israelites that they are to work for 6 days and rest on the seventh because he created the world and all that was in it in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. Now, if we don't understand the word day to mean day, then what he's really telling them is, you work for six long eons of time, and then on the seventh long eon of time, then you go ahead and rest for that one.
that doesn't make any sense.
There'd be generations and generations of people who would have never gotten to rest at all. They would have had to have worked all the time. And then there would have been a whole group of generations of people that never would have had to work at all. Well, that's, you can't live like that. When he says 6 days and then the seventh day, he's talking about days. What's more, in the book of Genesis, when he created these things, we know he created the light, separated the light and the darkness on the first day. And then on the second day, he created the seas and the sky. And then on the third day, he created the dry land, caused the dry land to. And then on day four, he went back and he created the sun and the moon and the stars. Now remember, they didn't, you know, there was evening and morning, the first day, he said. And then he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. The sun to rule the day, and the moon to rule the night. He did that on the fourth day. Now then on the fifth day, he created the plants. All of the plants, the trees, the flowers, the grass, all of those plants life. And you know how plant life, especially flowers, have to be pollinated. Well, it wasn't until the sixth day that he created any of the animals. The fifth day he created the birds and the fish. And then it was the sixth day he created the animal life. So between the fourth day, if that's a long eon of time, then you had a long eon of time during which the plants lived and reproduced without the birds and the bees to carry their seeds and to pollinate them. Now, that doesn't make good sense either. It doesn't work that way. Evolution is a fallacy of thinking based upon assumptions that are flawed. They assume some things that are just wrong to start with, and it draws them to the wrong conclusion. They don't accept the facts as they exist. Even their own fossil record that they use to try to prove evolution, in fact, disproves it, because what you find in the fossil record is an explosion of all kinds of life. Insects, birds, fish, animals, of all kinds. All right there at the same time. Not a few in this strata of these one-celled organisms, and then a few in this strata of little fish and things, and then a few in this strata. No, it doesn't work that way. All at once. That's the way that it works. Paul warned Timothy about this very thing. He says in 1 Timothy 6, verses 20 and 21, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babbling, and opposition of science, falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Notice what Paul says. He says there are going to be oppositions of science, falsely so-called. You see, evolution is not true science. The law of gravity is a true scientific principle. That's science, that if you throw something up, it falls to the ground. That's science. Gravity is without a doubt. It's a law. It happens every time. Evolution, in order to be a law, as some claim that it is, would have to be observable and repeatable, just like gravity is. You can observe gravity. Just watch. There it is. There's gravity. And what's more, we can repeat it. And again and again and again. And as I pick this key up and let go of it, it'll fall back to the ground. It's observable and repeatable. That's something that's necessary in order for something to be scientifically proven as a fact. Well, no one has ever observed evolution. And no one can repeat evolution. Those two things in and of themselves make it someone's own theory, their own idea. And yet many of the science books that children use in schools today state that evolution is a fact, that it is the law of evolution rather than a theory that some scientists hold. Not even all scientists believe it. In fact, those who are true scientists and hold to the true theory that governs science cannot believe it because it is not provable. It's not repeatable. unreadable, not observable. But Paul warned Timothy that there would be things that would be falsely called science that would oppose Christianity. Science and the Bible never contradict one another. Science and the Bible never contradict one another. Because the same person who created the laws that govern this world is the same person who wrote the Bible. And he didn't contradict himself. We need to understand that just because some people say something and they are well educated doesn't mean that they know everything. And evolution is one of those sciences that is falsely so-called science. It's not true science. And then in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, speaking of Christ, Paul writes, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." You see, Paul didn't buy into this idea that some religious people have now, that God started the spark of life in the amoeba and then those one-celled organisms evolved into other things. No, Paul says that Christ created all things that are in heaven and in earth. Christ did it. He was there with the Father in the beginning. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost there from the beginning. That's why in Genesis 1:27, the Bible says, "Let us make man." The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they were all there. Let us make man in our image. We can't believe in Jesus without believing that he created us and everything else. If we are just animals that evolved from monkeys, then Christ is not who he claims to be. And God is not the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible claims to have created everything. And then secondly, we see that we can't believe in Jesus without believing the miracles recorded in the Scriptures. There's another large group of religious people who want to take the moral teaching of the Bible, the don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. They want to take those things, but they refuse to accept anything that's supernatural. Anything that goes beyond the laws of nature. Anything, for example, that would defy gravity, like Jesus rising up into the air at the end of his ministry after his resurrection. That defies the law of gravity. They would want to deny the resurrection of Christ. Can you believe there are some people who call themselves Christians, but they want to deny the resurrection of Christ? Paul said it best when he said, if Christ is not risen, then is Christ, then is our hope vain. It's hopeless. Why would we believe in Christ if he wasn't risen from the dead? And yet there are people who proclaim themselves to be Christians that don't believe that he rose from the dead. There are many who claim to be Christians who don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe that Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And if Christ was the offspring of some sort of immoral relationship, because that's what we're left with, if Christ was not the Son of God, and if that seed was not planted in Mary's womb by God, by the Holy Spirit, then Christ is just a man born of illegitimately. Huh. Who wants to follow a Savior under those circumstances? His whole, everything about him was a lie then. John chapter 20, verses 29 through 31. Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John makes it clear that he saw these miracles, and he wrote them down so that we would believe that Jesus was more than just a man. That Jesus had a supernatural ability, that he could do things that other people couldn't do. That's why he wrote his book. That's why he wrote down the miracles that Jesus did. And the book of John is full of those miracles. From the beginning, when Jesus turned water to wine at the wedding in Cana, all the way to his resurrection and his walking on water. And if you think that's easy, go try it sometime. Go try to walk on water. It's a neat trick. It is a trick. You can't do that. You can't just go walk out on the water. How would anybody know about that? Why, even with water skis that we have now, you still have to be moving at a pretty good speed to stay up on top of that water. And if that boat slows down and you slow down, guess what happens to you? We have to have some sort of flotation device to stay up on the water. Something like a surfboard to stand on, to be able to stand up on top of. Not Jesus. He just walked with his own feet, just stepped out there on the water and walked across. It's amazing that people who claim to be Christians will deny the miracles recorded in the Scriptures. And not just the miracles that Jesus did, but even back in the Old Testament, parting of the Red Sea. They deny the flood of Noah. They deny anything miraculous that ever has ever occurred, but that everything has just been perfectly natural. That's an amazing thing when we consider that during the time that Christ was alive on this earth, even his enemies didn't deny his miracles. Even his enemies didn't deny them, and yet we have people now claiming to be his friends and followers, claiming to be Christians, who are denying them. That seems a little backwards, doesn't it? That's me. That his enemies wouldn't sit. They knew he did the miracle. When Lazarus was dead, they saw him buried. And then he was alive again. How could they deny him? They knew he had died. They knew they had the funeral. They knew they washed him, put him in the tomb. They couldn't deny that. They knew these people who had been blind from birth, or who had been crippled from birth, or all had leprosy. The high priest had to see somebody, and you've got leprosy, you've got to go. You've got to go out away from the rest of the people. You have to be excluded. The high priest had seen these men. He knew they had leprosy. And then they come back to him, and they're clean. Leprosy was not the kind of disease that just goes away. Jesus performed these miracles. And even his enemies didn't deny it. Mark 3:22, the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devil casteth he out devils. Now they were seeing him cast the devils out, and they could not deny that he was doing it. They didn't try to deny that he was doing it. Their argument was, he's doing it by the prince of the devils. That's how he's able to do it. They couldn't deny that he was doing it. There was no doubt that he was doing it. Everybody saw he was doing it. Everybody knew he was doing it. It was just a matter of, well, how is he doing it? Well, the scribes and the Pharisees chose to believe that he was doing it by some evil power, by the devil himself, by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, the prince of the minor devils. That's what they believed. They had to believe that, because if they believed that he was doing it by the power of God, then they would have to also believe the things he was teaching. And if they believed the things he was teaching, they would have to change everything that they were and everything that they believed. But no, they didn't try to deny his miracles. And yet, many today who are supposedly religious and supposedly believe in Christ. Oh, how the devil has influenced people. To the extent that they call themselves Christians, say they believe in Jesus, don't even believe in the miracles that John and the others record. believing that Jesus is the Son of God. There are a lot of theories out there about Jesus. Muhammad in his Quran records that Jesus was a prophet. Many of the people that Jesus came in contact with during his lifetime proclaimed him to be a good man, or a teacher, or even a prophet. But certainly the soldier that stood by the cross at his death was the one who got it right. When he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." A man who was the Son of God. 1 John 5, verses 11 to 13. John says, "And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." What was his name? The angel told Mary, "You shall give birth to a son, and you shall call him his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's the name of the Son of God, Jesus. He was also called Christ, or the Messiah. Many called him Lord. Some called him Master. He was also referred to as Emmanuel, or God with us. Because that's exactly what he was. He was God in the flesh. John chapter 1 tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14, he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The demons knew who he was. They knew him. Matthew 8:29, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" You see, the demons knew that there was a time coming where they're going to be tormented for eternity. They're going to be cast into hell with Satan. They knew that. But they knew it wasn't time yet. What time for that yet? And so they said, "Jesus, thou Son of God." They knew who he was. They recognized him. Well, why shouldn't they recognize him? Do you know who the demons are? The demons were angels who had fallen from heaven. You think they wouldn't have known Jesus when they saw him? Of course they would. The devil knew him too. Satan, he knew who Jesus was. Satan kept tempting him, "If you're the Son of God." Satan knew he was the Son of God. Satan knew, because he had known him even before he fell. He knew Jesus. Jesus was not just a good man or a prophet. Not possible. The Quran, Muhammad makes one very crucial mistake. He says in one place that no prophet can lie if it's a prophet from God. And then he acknowledges that Jesus was a prophet from God. And if that's the case, if Muhammad is right about those two things, then Muhammad has condemned himself. Because we see that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And if he was a prophet and no prophet can lie, then he was telling the truth when he said that. And if he was telling the truth when he said that, then to follow Muhammad and his religion is vain. And there are many who are going down that path. They're following the wrong person because they misunderstood that Muhammad himself acknowledged that Christ was the Son of God, because he said a prophet can't lie and Christ is a prophet. But he wasn't just a prophet. Oh, he certainly did prophesy. He was a prophet in that respect. But he was not just a prophet. He was not just a good man who was a wise teacher like Confucius or something like that. No, no. Jesus if he was not the Son of God, if he was not Lord, then he was a liar or a lunatic. Those are the only choices left open to us. Either he was Lord, or he was a liar, or he was a lunatic. There's no other option. If he wasn't the Lord, then he lied when he said he was. When he said, God is my Father. When he said, I am going to my Father. When he said, I must be about my Father's business. When he said, I go to prepare a place for you. If he wasn't Lord, he was a liar. Or he was just crazy. If he really was so deluded that he believed that and it wasn't true, he was just crazy. And what does that make us if we're following a crazy man? No, we cannot accept the possibility that Jesus was just a good man, because good men don't lie, and they don't deceive others, and they don't create a whole religion based on a lie. Good men don't do that. And if he was just a prophet, he was a pretty lousy prophet, because he prophesied things about himself that weren't true. He was a false prophet. He was a prophet. He must be the Lord. So we conclude, we need to understand that believing is just the start. We must believe. There's no doubt about it. We've seen three things, at least, that we must believe. If we're to say we believe in Jesus, we must believe that He created us and everything else. We must believe that He did the miracles that are recorded in the Bible. And we must believe that He is the Son of God, that He is, in fact, God in the flesh. Not as some religions teach, that He is a created being. No, Colossians says, He created all things. It didn't say somebody created Him and then He created other stuff. He created all things. He was already in existence. He was the Son of God. We must believe that. If we are to say we believe in Jesus. Anyone who says they believe in Jesus and doesn't believe, at least start with those three things. There are other things that we have to believe about Jesus. But if we don't believe those three things, how can we possibly say we believe in Jesus? James 2:19 says, Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, believing is a good start, but even the devils do that. We've got to do better than that, because we know where the devils are going to wind up. They believe. They tremble. They have fear, even. That's not enough. There has to be more. John 8:23-24. Jesus said, Ye are from beneath. I am from above. You see there, if he wasn't from above, then he was either crazy or he was lying to people when he said things like this. You're from beneath. I am from above. You're of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sin. For if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sin. There's no two ways about it. We have to believe in Jesus. And that involves a whole lot more than just saying, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. There are people all around us that are saying that every day. But if we really believe in Jesus, and God needs us to really believe in Jesus, then it's going to show in the other things that we believe, in the things that we believe about Jesus, and in the actions that show those beliefs. If you're here this morning, you have a need to respond to the invitation. If you're not a Christian, you need to believe in Jesus to start down that road. After believing in Him, you need to be willing to repent of your sin, to confess Him as the Christ, the Son of God, and to be very busy with baptism to wash your sins away, to rise and walk in a new life. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps your faith in Christ has been diluted by some of the false teachings that are out there, you may need to get back on the right path. If you're here and you haven't need to respond, we ask you to do so as we stand and to receive.